Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. If you join me in Bible study this morning, please open up your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 19. In verse 11, we began to read about the return of our Messiah Yeshua on the white horse for the battle of Armageddon, at which point all those who are unsaved on the earth will perish, and all those who are saved will go alive into the Messianic kingdom. And we're up to verse 16. Verse 16 reads, "And he," meaning our Messiah Yeshua, "has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So the first thing I must ask is, if it's written on his thigh, is it tattooed?
No.
No, you're right. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 19, in Leviticus chapter 19, we read that tattoos are prohibited. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 28. It says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord." Why doesn't the Lord want us to make tattoos? Because it's a pagan thing, right? Because of its pagan origins, and God said, don't treat me like they treat their pagan gods. God said, do not do it. So, if there aren't any tattoos, how is the name of God across his thigh? The answer is the tzitzit, right? If you look at the prayer shawl, which Messiah would be wearing, what hangs across the thigh are these fringes called tzitzit in Hebrew. In English, it's just translated as fringes. If you notice, there are lots of twists and turns and knots. The twists and turns are 613, representing the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God that we call the Torah. And the knots represent four Hebrew letters, the way they're tied, Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is the tetragrammaton, the name of the Lord, that hangs across the thigh. What does the scripture say about tzitzit? Go to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Let's start with verses 15 and 16, which gives us an important point that a lot of people overlook. Verse 15 says, "One ordinance," what's an ordinance? It's a type of commandment, "shall be for you of the assembly and for the stranger who dwells with you," the Ger HaShaar, that is the one from the pagan Gentile world that wants to be joined to Israel to worship the God of Israel, like Ruth in the book of Ruth, "an ordinance forever throughout your generations, as you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law and one custom shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you." We could go to three or four other places where the Lord says the same thing, but the law is the same no matter who you are, no matter where you were born. But then if we drop down to verse 37, verse 37 says, "Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," what's that word saying? What follows is a quote. "Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels," that's the tzitzit, "on the corners of their garments," that's the
to lead the prayer shawl throughout their generations, which means forever, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corner. See the blue, the tehillah blue in the corner of my tallit where the tzitzit are attached. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So the children of Israel put the tzitzit on the corners of their garments, and whenever they were tempted to enter into idolatry or sexual immorality, they had the tzitzit as a constant reminder. God said, do not do that. Yes?
Okay, it says the children of Israel. Was this male or female? Was female wearing tallit as well as male?
No. The tallit was considered the man's garment. The scripture says a woman's not to wear a man's garment. It wasn't talking about Levi jeans. They didn't have those. Everybody wore robes. This was the man's garment.
I understand, but when it says speak to the children of Israel to do this.
Right. If you look at the actual Hebrew, it says talk to the sons of Israel.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it just gets translated the children of Israel. Okay. Back to Numbers. No, let's go all the way back to Revelation 19. What does it mean that he has on his robe, that is the tallit, and on his thigh where the tzitzit hang a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What does that phrase mean, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What's it mean?
Ruler of all.
That is, he is the king over all other kings. He's the Lord over all other lords. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2, where it explains it in a little more, perhaps, common English. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Says, now it shall come to pass in the end of days. If your Bible says latter days, just fix it. It's the end of days. It's the messianic kingdom with Messiah ruling and reigning on earth. That the mountain of the Lord's house, what is the mountain in prophecy? It's a kingdom. So the kingdom of the Lord's temple, that is where the Lord rules and reigns from, shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. So his kingdom is over every other kingdom on earth. The other kingdoms are simply vassal states that owe their allegiance to him. It says, and all nations shall flow to it. Many peoples or multitudes shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that is to the messianic kingdom, to the house of the God of Jacob, which is the temple on the Temple Mount. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations. What right or authority does he have to judge between the nations? He's the King of Kings. There is no higher authority in this entire world. And will rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. We also find in Zechariah 14:16 that when the battle of Armageddon is over, the tribulation period has ended, that all nations are going to flow up to Jerusalem. Zechariah 14:16. Zechariah 14:16 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations, what does the word nations mean? The Gentile world, which came against Jerusalem, that is, against Jerusalem in the battle of Armageddon, shall go up from year to year, meaning every year, to worship the king. Who's the king? That's Messiah Yeshua, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, is going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Another term for the Feast of Tabernacles is the Feast of All Nations. Because everybody recognizes the scripture is so clear, we shall all keep it. So let us go back to Revelation 19. When it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that means that Satan no longer rules in this world. His reign is over. He's been the Lord of this world for 6,000 years, and it's time for it to end. Verse 17, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice. So would I if I was standing in the sun, but that's neither here nor there. And saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Rabbis for over 1,000 years used this verse to say, see, the New Testament is not true. Because there were no carnivorous birds in Israel. None. Not until 1967 when Israel recaptured the city of Jerusalem. And then carnivorous birds started coming into Israel in countless numbers. If you go up to Gamla, overlooking the Jezreel Valley, you will see so many carnivorous birds now. They have whole bird sanctuaries. And what does it mean, come and gather together for the supper of the great God?
Marriage supper?
It's not exactly the marriage supper. It's cleanup day. Let's go back to Ezekiel 38 and 39 for a moment. Because it helps us to understand what's going to happen here. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 39 will be a good starting point. Verse 4. At the battle of Gog and Magog, which is in the tribulation period, says, you shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I'll give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. In other words, there are so many dead bodies on the battlefield after the battle of Gog and Magog that they can't get them all buried quickly. So the birds of the air and the beasts of the field are going to come and ravage upon the bodies. At the battle of Gog and Magog, it's merely Russia, Turkey, Iran, and their allies. But in Revelation chapter 19, let's turn back there, this is the battle of Armageddon where all nations have come against Jerusalem. And again, the dead will be so many that they can't get them buried promptly. And again, the birds of the air and the beasts of the field are going to come and devour the dead bodies. That was considered to be a great disgrace back in the ancient of days for the body not to get promptly buried, to be carrion for the birds and the vultures and the animals. So what verse 17 is telling us is that the slaughter is going to be almost inconceivable, the number of dead. Verse 18 tells us what they're going to eat. Verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great, meaning young and old. The armies that come against Jerusalem are going to die in an instant. And if all the nations of the world have come against Jerusalem, how many soldiers will there be? The slaughter is just inconceivable. And that's why the animals are going to have their way with the bodies before people can even get them buried. What about the beasts of Revelation 13, the false Messiah and the false prophet? Do they survive? Do they do like the movie The Ten Commandments and stand on a hill overlooking a battle and going, darn, that didn't go the way we thought it would? No. Verse 19, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. So the false Messiah is going to lead the charge against Messiah and say, we cannot let him rule and reign. That's Psalm 2. We will not allow the Lord to rule over us. That's why they come against Jerusalem. It's not just that they hate the Jewish people, though they hate the Jewish people. It's because they know that if the Lord returns, he's going to set up his kingdom and Satan is finished. And the false Messiah just is not willing to allow his people to bow their knee to the Lord. So the purpose is one and one only. Stop Messiah from coming. Well, there's only one way to stop Messiah from coming, to rule and reign. And what is that? Matthew 23:39, Messiah said, you'll see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So if they can wipe out every Jewish believer, the Messiah can't come. That's why they're coming against Jerusalem with everything they've got. They want to stop Israel from crying out for the Lord's return. How does it go for them? Let's look at verse 20. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I'm forgetting all my notes. Let's go to back to Isaiah chapter 34 before we move on to verse 20. Isaiah chapter 34.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Rachel.
So if they're going to be coming against the Jews and against Israel, that means they're not headquartered there.
Well, really?
Prophet.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're not headquartered there. The false Messiah sets up himself in the temple.
Okay.
But they're still going to destroy all the Jewish people that believe if they can. Isaiah chapter 34, verses 1 through 8. Come near, you nations, to hear, and heed, you peoples. When it says, come near, you nations, to hear, who's the call to? Is it to the Jews? No, it's to the Gentiles. To come gather together and listen. Not just listen, but and heed. What does heed mean? Listen and do what you're told. The world and all things that come forth from it, for the indignation of the Lord. What's the word indignation? That's the wrath of God being poured out, so we know it's the end of the tribulation period, is against all nations. Why is his fury and indignation against all nations? Because all nations come against Jerusalem, says Zechariah 14. And his fury against all their armies, he has utterly destroyed them. That's Revelation 19. He has given them over to the slaughter. Also, their slain shall be thrown out, meaning not put in graves, just strewn across the land. Their stench shall rise from their corpses. That normally starts, 3 days after death, meaning they're going to lay there a while. And the mountains shall be melted with their blood. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. Have you ever seen a nuclear blast? How the mushroom cloud ascends and then rolls in the clouds? All their hosts shall fall down. That's talking about fire and brimstone falling from the mushroom clouds. As the leaf falls from the vine and his fruit falling from a fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Bathed in what? Fine oils? No, blood. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom, and the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah. Bozrah was the capital of Edom. According to Jewish theology, Edom here refers to the Roman Empire. And a great slaughter in the land of Edom. The wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls. These are talking about military commanders and their armies. It's not really animals. Their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. When Messiah read from the scroll of Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4, he stopped before which clause? And the day of vengeance of our God. Because that wasn't for the first coming, that's for the second. Verse 8 tells us, the day of the Lord's vengeance has come. Vengeance against whom? Against the nations of the world. For what? For their persecution of and attacks on Israel. The year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Zion is prophetic Jerusalem where Messiah rules and reigns. They don't want Messiah to come and to rule and reign. But you know what? He's coming anyway. Joel chapter 3. The name Joel means the Lord is God. Ya'el, the Lord is God. Joel chapter 3. I hear somebody on GoToMeeting Land. Does somebody have a question?
I do, Wayne.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. What is it, please? Miss Susie?
Just thinking about the scripture references in Revelation, and then we come to this recent reading. You know, my thoughts were, too, is this going to be a nuclear blast, being that it's so many people are killed, it appears. But I'm wondering, when I think about a nuclear blast, I'm thinking it kills everything within that area. You know, is there going to be birds then to come? Are the birds outside of this nuclear blast?
The and one thing I can tell you about, for sure,
you
is
know, blood, oh.
God has the ability to protect.
It's a little bit, exactly.
Yeah. God has the ability to protect.
Is there any reason not to think that God himself could cause that to take place?
He absolutely could cause it. He doesn't need man to set off a nuclear weapon, but there's some reason that God had men develop nuclear weapons.
Right.
Joel chapter 3, exactly how it unfolds, we'll have to wait and see. At the moment, we can only speculate. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, what's behold means, something important is about to be revealed. In those days and at that time. What does at that time refer to? The tribulation. When I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. We've begun to see the return. Not yet complete. I will also gather all nations. I wish it said all nations but the United States, but it doesn't. Bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. What in the world does Jehoshaphat mean? It means the Lord will judge. The Lord will judge. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people by heritage Israel. How did all nations come to Jehoshaphat, to the valley? That's the Jezreel Valley. That's in Israel. How did all nations come to Israel? They've come to attack Jerusalem. It says, whom they have scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land. Oh, we didn't do that, did we? Yeah, we did. Let's look at verse 11 of Joel 3. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people. That means he will protect his own. That all this great destruction and bloodshed will not harm his people. And the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. The word alien means what? Pagan. No more pagans. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 10. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Is his vengeance for believers? No. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day, what day? Day of the Lord, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So even 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 makes it very clear that God's wrath is upon the unbelievers, not upon his children. And then back to Isaiah chapter 66, verses 4 through 24. Because Isaiah 66 is about the second coming of the Lord, just as Revelation chapter 19 is. Isaiah 66, beginning in verse 4, reads, "So will I choose their delusions." Does 2 Thessalonians tell us that God will give delusions to those who reject him and accept the mark of the beast? Yeah. "And bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word." Who trembles at his word? That's talking to the believers. "Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, 'Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy,' but they shall be ashamed." That tells you that those who cast out the believers thought they were doing God's will. Verse 6, "The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies." So what chapter in Revelation goes with?
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org. where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.